to tell you that my first guest for the day is in the chair. It's Mr. Brian Matthews. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Jan. I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. You've managed to make it over from the lovely Yankalilla district,
yeah.
Yankalilla, Normanville, Karakalinga, Brewer.
Yeah, and it was a much more beautiful vista as I came over the hill this morning. The sea was sort of steel blue, but it was a lovely blue.
Yes.
And,
it's been a little bit dark and dangerous the last week.
Yes.
Very,
yes,
very high tides. Yes, and looking a bit, you know, sort of menacing was
yes,
the word that came
menacing,
to
menacing, definitely, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a lovely trip. But you just have to take it easy, don't you, on the roads, especially those windy roads. And we don't, you know, if you do it every day, sometimes it becomes a bit, you know, you're not concentrating and things go wrong. And then if you haven't done it very often, likewise, you know, you're really concentrating and you need to be very careful because you don't quite know what other people are going to do.
No. Drivers, is everybody else is on the road is a fool. Yeah.
No, drivers, if it's going to happen, I think that's it.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about today?
Well, I was mindful that you said last time I talked here that we needed a poem on joy. And I had a real blank period because I think because I was so emotionally incensed about the refugee issues and, of course, the Biloela family. And I just couldn't find the emotional energy to write. But I sat down and made myself write a poem on joy. And it came out of a couple of kids, grandkids' birthdays and comments that their parents had made about what brought them joy on their day. I also have some politics and I have some weather and I have some book quotes.
I can hardly wait. But I do think joy, in the sense of getting partial, anyway, resolution for the Biloela family seems to me to be, you know, one step in the order of compassion.
Yeah, but there is so much pettiness there that they grant visas for three of the families so that they can't travel back to Biloela. And, you know, that's school kid tactics.
I don't know, it just is not how we perceive ourselves in the global sense of generosity and fairness and kindness. And you know, this is a family that we're not that we're going to get right into it, but you know, this is a family who are living in a community, contributing in the community, just doing everything, you know. And obviously they left and took a huge chance to get here in the first place, you know. Anyway, it just seems like there's one rule for some people and one more for others.
That's right. Yeah. If you're an au pair, then it's not too hard to get a
good looking and particular colour.
And particular colour, yeah. Okay, so my first poem, titled Joy. The joy of children, a plate of chips, rainbow ice cream, their smiles shine. The more experience we get, the sparkles we forget, confounded by all surrounding, often finding we're foundering. Reminding self of the beauty, always present in the terrain, necessary if we are to balance the good, the bad and pure chance. Evil in truth does exist, but cast aside this dreadful mist, and underneath we can see that from despair we can be free. A first world problem, it would seem, the creation of an impossible dream, while living in the here and now, a perspective we need to avow. Though in all cultures there exists a range of personalities, those who see and embrace the light, others always itching for a fight. So I think there were down parts of it, but I really did try to make it about joy, and I'm feeling quite joyful today, so that's good.
I'm very happy to hear it. It's very interesting to you know, put those thoughts down when you've got a framework in mind. I mean, you don't have to listen to a word I say, Brian. Just ignore me. I think that's what everybody else does. But I think, you know, you always just come up with that, you know, little bit that sort of touches resonates, I guess, is the word. And, you know, we've all got the capacity to be deep and dark, and Lord knows everybody. That's the one thing I have learned in my life, if nothing else, is that everybody has a story, and everybody has somewhere deep dark in their soul. And but some people just seem to be able to go, okay, you know, that's the place I'm putting that. And I'm going to keep on going, you know. And lots of us have to make that decision whether we want to or not. And so I think, but, you know, when you talk about that, I mean, joy can be, I often say to myself, joy is just when I wake up and I can see the ceiling. You know, literally I'm awake. That's a good thing.
That is always a good thing.
Starts the day off joyously. And I think the other thing, and I believe this is an army thing, but I just don't really know where I got that from. But I always think if the first thing you do when you get out of bed is actually make your bed. You know, so you've done the first job of the day, then you're on your pathway.
Yes. Now, my letter is not, my second poem is not so joyful, and it was written by a friend, Jane, and I asked her permission to read it, and I thought it was just so powerful. And the theme is around the Bilawila family, but also other aspects of our terminally incompetent government. A letter to Scott. You, our Prime Minister, you hold all of the power. You could change four lives in less than an hour. You say you're Christian, but what does that mean? Just numbers in detention, not heard and not seen. Did you see your beloved be burnt alive? Do you fear for your children when you hear their cries? Do you look at the world through bars and through fences? Mr. Prime Minister, please, please come to your senses. Do you lie to your country while breaking your bread? Will your fishes and loaves be equally spread? Why don't you see what is right and what's wrong? Why can't you see that this family belong? Do you humour your people as they beg for your pardon? Do you think of their hardship as you stroll through life's garden? We've seen stories and news runs that make us depressed. A refugee in Australia must be truly blessed. I feel hopeless, frustrated, useless and tired. This government called Liberal must be rewired. Why has our country let refugees down? It's a court case, it's terrorism, judge and jury, the Crown. But Mr. Morrison, you are not our king. You showed lack of compassion by doing nothing. Can't you hear the people screaming like Jews burnt alive? Is your conscience still clear with God by your side? Do you celebrate and honour our First Nations pride, or glorify and celebrate black genocide? If we took away your wife and your innocent girls, if we lock them all up just to see what unfurls, how would this human experiment feel if your wife and your kids were taken for real? Taken and locked up for a child's eternity just because of a huge political uncertainty. What are you really afraid of, PM? Being judged by your Lord? Then show pity on them. This can't go on forever and ever. It's life, flesh and blood, you continue to tether. If your country can see that your actions are wrong, with petitions and protests, our people stand strong. Only you have the power to press the button, regardless of Andrews, Payne or Dutton. We know that this case is complex and huge, with more people lining up. It's a human deluge. But nothing is greater than compassion and love. Sincerely, your family, your country and your Lord above. And I think Jane just said so much in that poem. And it certainly did focus on the Bilawila family, but also alluded to the inequities in our society, the pushing of money toward the upper echelons, our disregard for our black history. And so I thought it was really good. She asked not to be fully named, but
I think she should send it to letters for the editor.
Well, I've submitted it to Yankalilla Regional News, so on her behalf.
I don't think, I mean, she could try sending it to The Australian. I'm not sure they'd publish it. But that's just my personal opinion, not the opinion of our station.
No. These are all our personal opinions.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But I'm thinking the Saturday paper would be a good one to go for. I mean, they're questions that people are asking, and I think that's fair game. It's out in the community. Nobody's shying away from it. I think the feeling for most of us is just a feeling of, and I don't know why, because we're strong people. Like this community, you know, we have a disaster, we have a fire, we have Kangaroo Island, bless their darling souls. You know, and we just get together in a minute and we can do something. But for this problem, we feel helpless and hopeless, and we don't know which is the direction to go in, how to hit the nerve, if you like, to make it happen.
I have an idea.
Good.
And it's in my next poem.
Good.
Overwhelmed, ? Overwhelmed, I feel, compassion drained. It beggars belief, an expression well known. People fleeing from wars created by profit takers and tribal interests, the tragedies abound. A nation floundering, the yoke of incompetence and flawed ideology weighs, leaving valuables sinking in a growing mire. It could be different. We could all live in peace with the occasional ruckus. But the forces against this are huge, with resources unlimited. A movement is needed. People need to rise up in different ways, move toward truth and honesty, remove vested selfish interests. Save your bullets for the big battles. Be aware of lesser distractions. Focus on the end game, elimination of a corrupt government. So there's no doubt about who I'll be voting for. Well, certainly not the LNP.
Thank you for sharing that publicly. Thank you.
But
I guess that's one of the things that I know Mr. Howard's government was quite against him personally, was the fact that in schools in Australia, and not necessarily overseas, from my experience of travelling and seeing, talking to other teachers overseas, is that we actually teach critical thinking. And I have to say that some of the conversations that I have, you know, a year 11 person in our house now, and becoming more and more of a year 11, year 12, and asking some very, very pertinent questions. And then questioning my answers, asking me, well, why do you think that? Why don't you think whatever, a different version.
Yeah. It's important to be able to listen to opposing views and not necessarily agree with them, but be informed by them. Yes.
And I mean, it's fine for us to have differences, and you'd expect that in a society. We all bring different experiences and different thoughts to it, but it's very interesting, and I feel heartened, you know, when I listen to you talking to me and really actually listen to what she's saying, and how her, I can feel how her thought processes are getting more and more complex and more and more, I'm just trying to think of the word.
Sophisticated, maybe.
And definitely analytical. Yeah. She's quite an analytical young person anyway. It's a sort of in her nature. But
I think young women are our future. I have another poem about that, but I won't read it.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly that sensation of overwhelmed, you know. And for some, right, just personally, you know, I find that quite difficult to deal with, because I'm considered to be, you know, people who know me think I'm strong and demonstrative and all of those things, and in many ways I am. But for some of those really big problems, you just think to yourself, just what?
Yes.
You know, what can I do?
Yes.
You know, that will make a difference. Maybe just today is enough talking about it and raising awareness and having people who are listening.
It is a step.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing.
Now, just to change tack a little bit, I do a lot of psychological thriller reading, and it struck me how often the core themes are around secrets, and we all have secrets. And so I wrote this poem, Secrets. We all have secrets. Little ones that do no harm would cause us embarrassment, put in a little compartment. Others can be toxic, distancing loved ones, creating another lie, no matter how we try. Protective of our own truth, shaping the image shown, avoiding that which may not resonate, escaping from perceived hate. Judgment the true enemy, for all of us make mistakes. Acknowledge them all we must, in others we need to trust. Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. That person would be alone, no darkness to atone. The yin and yang belongs to all, makes balance a constant call. All we can do is aspire to sink no further in the mire, or climb a mountain, one of our making or not, reaching for a challenge, something before we had not. Absolute truth not the aim, but respect for others essential. Life is not a game to win, it's a journey with friends and kin. Yeah, and I think that secret stuff is so complex. You know, they just build into mountains when they shouldn't be. But I was also affected by the weather, and of course the winter solstice came, and so I wrote this. The winter solstice passes, each day now longer. Warm weather still far away, and for rain we still pray. It still gives joy each year to mark the times, to know that soon enough we will enjoy warmer climes. Though much of my gene pool developed in colder places, I shudder when I view and read of snow and tempest on people's faces. How fragile humanity can be when faced with plummeting degrees. Without some energy source, we soon wither and freeze. Core needs we all have, food, drink, and clean air. But never must we forget warmth affects how we fare. And the need for this has shaped us into groups that give us love, thankful for all the earth does give, grateful for the sun above.
So true. I don't know if you heard me, but I just made that comment this morning. I was coming down the ramp, in inverted commas, and towards the car, and I said, and Tilda was behind me, and I said, oh, what is that lovely light I can see?
Yes, yes.
And then I got in the car and it was so cold that the windows kept fogging up and I was just getting white out and like nothing. I had everything turned on to try to get it to work. But it was scary really when that happens, isn't it? I don't know what's wrong. I think it's just too cold outside and too warm in the car.
Now, I had a get-together with a friend a week or so ago, and in conversation he talked about being scrabbling around on a sea of logs at times, and that stuck in my mind. So I wrote this really short one, and this is for Bill. A sea of logs, adrift we all are, at times on a sea of logs, scrabbling for some purchase, searching for our purpose. Often meaning is opaque, for what is it we seek? Few answers to be found, ending up on the ground. One foot after the other seems the only path. Standing still we do not choose. Our balance we seem to lose. Safe harbours can be found. Heart content for a time. The search can then again begin. Once some peace we do win. So thank you for the expression, Bill.
Oh, I wonder if that's my mate, Bill. He lives over there.
And I have one more on the weather before my book quotes, if we've got time.
Yeah, go for it.
I get really unsettled when we have those really windy times, and like we did last week, and I never sleep well, and I wake up early, and so I wrote this. The wind blows, unsettling the mind, reaching such extremes, no sleep can I find. The house creaks, sounds outside abound, little rain at this point, predicted soon on the ground. Trees thrash about, crashing limbs inevitable, difficult to find peace in tempest unreasonable. Maybe it reminds us how fragile our existence, that nature has a mighty reach, can attack with such persistence. Such events will always pass, serenity thus restored. Changing weather, it seems, ensures we're never bored. When the sun does shine, the birds fly and sing, Resilience builds in all, surviving yet another thing. And I wrote down the bottom, in the wee hours, because I wrote it at about 4 o'clock in the morning because I was sitting there, you know. And finally, my book quotes. Mm-hmm. I've got a few, but they're brief. This one stood out to me. It was in a book called, again, a psychological thriller. It was in a book called Not My Mother by Miranda Smith. And she said, friends tell each other everything. Better friends know when to stay quiet. And I thought there were some real gems of wisdom in that. Another one in a book called One Lost Soul by Jay Dalgish, a chilling British detective crime thriller, was once the initial passion of a relationship subsided, what remained were two people keeping each other company as they passed through life. My wife and I discuss relationships a lot, and there are many layers, but that captured an element of it. And two more, I promise I am finishing.
No, all right.
And I think this relates to some of our conversation today. It's too easy for other people to point fingers and judge, to say you should have done this or that. But the truth is that unless you've lived that person's life, you have no idea what you would do or how you would react in their shoes. It's arrogant to think otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that is in a book called One of Us is Lying by Shalini Boland. Mm-hmm. And my final quote, it was in the author's note at the end of a book. It's a book called Hadley and Grace, which is a modern version of Thelma and Louise, but fortunately with not quite as horrendous an ending, although I won't do any giveaways, but they're tough things that happen. But it was a fascinating book, and I recommend it. Hadley and Grace by Suzanne Redfern. The energy you put out is the energy you get back. If you are defensive and closed off, then life will be harder than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. That just really gripped me, because life is not all about sweetness and light, but the thing you can do is put positive energy into life, and I have some friends who do that really well, and I have others who don't do it so well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of middling in there, although oftentimes my lovely wife Barbara will say that I'm a bit too negative about things, and I think my poetry helps me to remain more positive.
I think so too, but I don't know about all the other parts of you, but I guess, you know, this is something that Elizabeth and I talked about the last time she was in.
Mm-hmm.
About the feelings that you have about yourself, and when change comes in your life, you know, how you can adjust your sails, for want of a better term.
Mm.
But really it comes back to who you are, what's the authentic you, and when have you got enough confidence to be yourself.
Yeah.
Like to say in the best possible ways what you're actually thinking.
Yes.
Because bottom line is, it all comes down to truth.
Mm.
And, you know, you need to be with someone else who can hear your truth, who you can tell your truth, and be okay with it.
Yeah.
No matter how hard it is, or how easy it is, or how good, you have to be able to say those things, especially to the people that you, pass through life with. You know, I think that's just probably the most important thing, because otherwise you're doing exactly what you said before. You're sitting on secrets.
Mm.
You're actually lying to yourself, not someone else.
I listened to a really interesting podcast on big ideas from the ABC last night, and it was on listening. It was a young woman, a journalist, who'd done a lot of research around it, and I found some of the things that she said absolutely fascinating. I know about listening, you know, from my study and my experience, but there were some little twists that she emphasised that I thought were really good. So if anybody gets a chance to listen to that podcast, have a look at Big Ideas, and it's on listening.
Yeah, they have some great things on there, don't they? And I think I'm annoyed, irritated by people who say things like, I hear what you're saying. And I always want to say, yeah, I know you can hear me, but are you actually listening?
Listening, yeah.
Brian, as always, a wonderful conversation, fabulous poetry. Thank you so much.
Lovely and, talking to you, Jen.
Will you be putting them in the anthology? Will you be sending them through?
I had set it all up and then my friend dropped in and I didn't. But it's about to go. You'll get it in your inbox momentarily.
And if Jane was willing to share hers, because it's been on Words to Share, it can be in the anthology.
Yeah.
And we won't put her other name, whatever.
No. That's why I just said Jane.
Thanks so much. That was just deeply thought-provoking today, and that's a good thing. That's what we want, people out there thinking and finding out more and asking questions in the right places. I think that's really important. So thank you, Brian, very much.
Well, thank you, Jane.
Now, I better take a message before I'm sacked.
Not only will you love the look, you'll also love the team at Victor Carpet Corp. They are totally focused on your